Chapter 7, Friday. It was finally Friday. Everything felt surreally quiet after Midoriya picked Himawari up from Kachan. But it was a quiet that filled the young man's mind as well, soothing and bracing his nervous nature. He didn't even despair when All Might didn't come and get their fluffy stowaway at lunch like he said he would. He was busy. It was okay. Or it would be okay. It was All Might, after all. There were no more study groups, no more incidents. Midoriya visited Himawari on lunch break, stepping over Kirishima and Koda and Sero, and saying hello to Jiro and Yayorozu. He quickly gave over the can of food to the two girls, who demanded they be allowed to feed the kitten, but decided they, Momo, had to make a fancy bejeweled bowl for her first. He sighed, a little overwhelmed, but mostly tired, and went to the campus library again to look over his notes for the hero history test that afternoon. The test went well, and the day ended with no further aplomb. Freed by the shrill of the bell, the entire class gathered their bags and rushed out after homeroom, as per usual on a Friday, eager to get to whatever cafe or takeout spot they had been dreaming about for the past few hours. Midoriya watched them go with a vague, tired sort of smile, waving goodbye to Ida and Uraraka in particular. There was a basic difference of sorts between him and the rest of the class, deeper than his secret quirklessness, but linked to it, and that was okay. He was lucky to be there, and he tried to keep that spark of gratefulness bright and strong, because he had friends and the chance to be a hero. It was enough. It was more than enough, and more, even, than he had dreamed of, and that was saying a lot. There was just one thing left to do. Midoriya sighed, gathered his bag, and set off down the emptying hallway, imagining how well he would sleep after this particular week. He set his sights high, a full night uninterrupted by dreams of thousands of yellow kittens running loose on campus with a monster-sized radio hero sneezing down buildings as it rained cat toys. Even if he would likely dream of preparing for their semester finals, which were still a complete mystery, it would be a fine trade-off. Above all, Midoriya needed time. Rest, quiet, a break at least, even if it was from All Might. Midoriya briefly checked in the teacher's lounge before heading to 227, not letting himself worry about All Might just yet. He would arrive in due time and wrap everything up. However, as the exhausted first year walked down the hallway, which was by all means supposed to be abandoned by then, he heard voices. A ton of voices, all shouting and laughing. It was an odd thing to spark panic, but Midoriya picked up the pace when he heard it get even louder, then tore down the hallway and flung open the door to 227. His mouth fell open. The entirety of 1A was piled into the small room, perched on desks or sprawled on the floor in little clusters, talking and laughing, trading snacks and sipping soda, and passing Himawari around like she was a good luck charm. Koda was trailing the kitten around, probably making sure she was still comfortable and okay, and that the students were holding her correctly. Ida and Uraraka were acting as kitten conductors, deciding who had had her long enough and needed to share. Jiro and Yayorozu were beside themselves trying to decide which of Yayorozu's freshly made sparkly cat collars would best fit her spitfire personality. Kaminari was whining that he hadn't had a turn and likely wouldn't get one anytime soon, judging by how Sero and Ashido were holding him down and cackling madly. Even Tsu and Tokoyami were there, though mostly for the merriment, as evidenced by the distance they'd put between themselves and the kitty appreciation circle. Midoriya felt faint. Right as he was considering passing out, just to put an end to this particular experience, Todoroki caught his eye from the circle of students, raising a hand. His classmate shot him a knowing look that seemed to encompass everything that was happening at that moment. The entire class, talking, laughing, gathered joyfully. Midoriya blushed and put a scarred hand over his face. After a moment, a hand fell on his shoulder, and he eeped and looked up. Todoroki's knowing look was much closer and a bit more smug now. Midoriya eked out a laugh. This wasn't what I was imagining when you said I bring people together. Todoroki shrugged, saying something vague about how they couldn't all be expelled at once unless Aizawa was the one to find them. Midoriya turned, if possible, a shade redder. In the center of the room, Kirishima was loudly defending himself to Ida and Uraraka, shaking a fluffy cat toy. Hey, I knew Bakugo would take care of her. What are you saying, guys? It's not my fault I forgot about art class, but I wasn't going to let anything happen to her, and neither was Bakugo. Hey, I mean it. He's a really good guy. I'm right here, you fucking dipwad. God, shut up. And you're stepping on my fucking coat, Kirishima. Would you just... Then Midoriya heard a tapping sound. He looked up to his left and saw the blurred outline of a very tall, very thin man in the door window. He hastily made an excuse to Todoroki about checking the hallway for intruders and zipped out, closing the door behind him. The difference in the noise was immediately noticeable, and the hallway was eerily quiet in comparison. For a moment, Midoriya just panted and looked up blankly at All Might. It seemed like too much to explain, but he had no choice. "I'm so sorry," he began, breathless. "I tried to keep it a secret. I really did. They all just, they wanted to play with the kitten." It took Midoriya a moment to notice that All Might looked pretty tired, and that maybe things were happening on his side that were really stressful, too. He worried, short and sharp, but his lifelong hero just sighed, smiling. All Might didn't look alarmed at the situation at all.
"I know. He does that,"
the veteran hero admitted quietly, glancing over at the furrow in the closed classroom, as someone, probably a Shido, shrieked in joy.
"He brings people together. It's a magic he has. Why else would I name him Sunflower?"
"I'm sorry," Midoriya tried again, not knowing what else to say with All Might standing there like that. Long back bowed with his big hands cupping his elbows. He briefly thought about telling the veteran hero what they'd all realized, that Himawari was a girl, but didn't. Midoriya nodded, reaching backward for the door handle.
I'll go get her, him.
It was quite a job, extricating such a cute, sociable kitten from the hands of his classmates. Everyone wanted to say goodbye. Everyone wanted one last scratch. Even Ida, who was coming to terms with the realization that he had some pretty severe cat allergies, buried his face in her fur and thickly encouraged her to go pursue her dreams, whatever that meant. Midoriya winced at the staggered, wistful chorus ushering him out of the room. "Bye, Himawari-chan! Come back soon!" Face red, he shut the door. All Might was waiting for him on one of the benches that sat outside all the classrooms. He patted the space next to him, and Midoriya quickly sat, placing the carrier between them and clasping his hands in his lap. The tall man beside him leaned on his sharp knees, a wistful smile on his face as he took the carrier into his lap, once again scratching at the see-through panel. Himawari murmured curiously, likely wondering where all her new friends had gone.
"What a sweet boy. I'm sure they will be sad to see him go," he murmured.
"Yeah, they will. They are." Midoriya nervously glanced back at the classroom, where his classmates still rabbled. Beside him, All Might gave a small, hoarse chuckle.
"What a messy secret. I suppose it was to be expected, but you can't regret these things. We have so many reasons to be divided, or so we tell ourselves, that anyone who brings us together and allows us to try, or even just play, is an alchemist of the human spirit, dredging the gold from our hearts. A gift."
Allmight steepled his long, crooked fingers over the carrier. Then said, faintly amused,
"We need more cats like Himawari."
"And people," Midoriya said, puffing out his cheeks. He looked up as Allmight patted his head, huge hand ruffling his dark curls.
"I already know one, at least," he said softly,
blue-black eyes shining. Midoriya's heart thumped hard, and his growing bones sang of his link to the man beside him, lighting up his insides with belonging. Allmight sighed through his nose, closing his eyes.
"Thank you for humoring me, my boy. I can see it wasn't easy, and I'm sorry I put you in that position through lack of thought on my part. It wasn't very heroic of me. But now, I think it's time to take Himawari to his real home."
Slowly, Allmight rose to his full height and carefully tucked the carrier under his arm and under his enormous jacket, lest anyone see, murmuring a faint assurance to the kitten that she would be out in the sunlight again soon enough. Midoriya rose as well, strangely anxious as he watched Allmight get the last of the kitten's personal effects together. The golden hero turned and gave his young friend and protege a wave.
"Goodbye, my boy. I'm proud of you and your heart. I may owe you an ice cream after all this is over."
Midoriya watched Allmight go, but couldn't let him. Not like that, not so simply. All of the things he'd seen, all of the little pieces of evidence jumbled together in his hyperactive brain, and finally made a picture, and he couldn't stop himself. "It's Aizawa-sensei, isn't it?" Midoriya clamped his mouth shut. "Why did he say it like that?" Allmight looked over his shoulder, expression almost spooked. He didn't say anything, so Midoriya made himself keep going. "It's... the cat belongs to Aizawa-sensei, doesn't it?"
That's where he's going, yes?"
Allmight looked relieved. Then, sheepish, he gently palmed his own temple, giving a wincing sort of wink.
"You're too smart for me, my boy. I don't know how you figure half of these things out. But don't make trouble if you can help it, especially for this old man. I get into enough on my own."
I hope that you two can be friends, Allmight. You and Aizawa-sensei? It would make me really happy," Midoriya said quickly. The look on his hero's long face was unreadable. But the boy pushed forward, smiling, maybe feeling tears in his eyes. "And I hope I get to see Himawari again, but I'm really glad he is going to have a good home."
"I feel the same way. This school and this world is lucky to have you, my boy. You shine like no one I've ever seen,"
Allmight said with the warmest of smiles, then gave him a thumbs up.
"Let's have lunch together on Monday."
Okay. Yes, sir. That would be amazing." And with that, the savior of the world strode off with a kitten under his arm. And Midoriya only hesitated for a moment before opening the door to 227 and walking into the joyful cacophony of his class, his friends, and his future. On the other side of campus, Aizawa burst into his apartment after, perhaps, the longest academic week of his life. He began violently shucking his personal effects like he was drowning and trying to drop extra weight. His bag, his keys, his boots, his reins, and his patience all hit the floor and remained there in disarray, leaving a very grumpy instructor who had wasted all of his mental energy strategically ignoring the most blatant week-long scam in the history of UA, and knowing what Mike and Midnight had gotten up to during their years running amok in those halls, that was fucking saying something. It was Friday afternoon, an hour past the bell, and he was kittenless. As far as Toshinori was concerned, he probably thought he'd won the day. The older hero had made it through the entire week without breaking and asking for help, and hadn't even indicated there was an issue despite the litany of obvious issues. First and foremost, him roping the children into his ploy when they had way more important things to worry about. Aizawa could have sworn he saw pink ears peeking out of Bakugo's damn backpack yesterday. And Mike's precious class but actually karaoke room still being rebuilt. What a mess. That was an accurate way to describe Toshinori, really. A mess. A cringing, ardent, overpowered, yet thoughtless hyperbole of a mess that managed to not be messy enough to give Aizawa a reason to step in and confiscate the object of his obsession, which was the least pleasant kind of mess. A fucking kittenless mess. Now he would have to act like a well-adjusted adult and actually ask Toshinori if he could have Himawari, even though their custody had clearly been split from day one. Ridiculous. Then, fuming, already halfway to the fridge to grab something alcoholic, Aizawa heard something. It was not a usual sound, and for a moment he thought it was a muffled notification for Neko Atsume on his phone. He stopped, and it happened again. A soft, high meow from somewhere on the floor of his apartment. Dry eyes wide, wondering if he was hallucinating from sheer want, Aizawa bent and peered into his living room, in the direction of the sound. A single yellow paw poked out from underneath his coffee table, then jerked back. A discarded, dirty sock that had somehow found its way into the lower rung of the coffee table waggled, and the paw darted out again, batting at it. Aizawa's otherwise blackened heart jumped clean into his throat, and he eased to his knees, moving over to the table with a most consuming concentration. He stealthily grabbed the sock with his fingertips and wiggled it, and Himawari jumped out of her hiding place like she was a goddamn skydiver, landing with all four paws flung out and fire in her blue eyes. She seized the sock and rolled, and it was the most precious thing Aizawa had ever fucking seen. Himawari, he sighed, at a loss for anything but the little furball psychotically mauling the sock in front of him. Suddenly, life wasn't so bad. He looked her over without delay, distantly concerned about her rambling secret passage through the student body and, in particular, Bakugo's explosive hands. In just a week, it seemed like she'd grown a lot already, with plenty of protein to support her healthy coat. Her eyes were bright, her ears were tall and responsive, and her reflexes were mint. Satisfied, Aizawa glanced up and saw his patio door was ajar. Though he didn't remember leaving it that way. He'd been in a bit of a state, planning his cat heist the past few days and not sleeping reliably, which always screwed with his sense of continuity. He figured she had escaped from Toshinori's well-meaning but unprepared clutches and found her way to him on her own, tracing the trail from a few nights ago. In reality, his and Toshinori's apartments weren't that far apart, and she wasn't so young that she couldn't scale the fire escape of the squat building. But somewhere inside of him, Aizawa was also convinced that cats were naturally born with teleportation abilities, and was far more concerned with her simple presence than how she had managed to get there. Sitting back on his haunches, Aizawa dragged the sock on the floor and watched her chase it, smiling tiredly and chuckling as she got her tiny pinprick claws snagged in the knit and flipped like a turtle, yowling. "You're a handful, you know that," he told her wearily, rubbing his eyes. "You nearly made Mike sneeze down the whole school. It's not your fault, though. It's his fault. He needs to take his fucking medicine." She looked up at him, on her back, and accepted neck scratches for approximately 2 seconds before biting at him, then freed herself and rubbed along his knees with a musical meow. She was everywhere. A mess. Aizawa's head smacked down onto his raised knee, remembering the other mess. Shit, Toshinori is probably having a heart attack right now. You didn't tell him where you were going, did you? Irresponsible. Aizawa sighed again, petting her as firmly and frequently as the hyper little thing would let him, and contentedly tracing the sunny glint of her fur with his blurry eyes. He took a minute to wrangle his eye drops from his pocket and blinked heavily as he squeezed in a few drops, chuckling again as she jumped up and swatted at his jumpsuit sleeves. The great and powerful All Might would come and look for her here eventually, after exhausting all of his other options. Or he would come to finally confess that he'd lost her, only to have her roll out to greet him with a pleasant meow. Aizawa smirked, liking that image more than he should. Okay, that might be worth this week alone. Alone in the quiet of his bare apartment, Aizawa pet his soon-to-be kitten, and his thoughts wandered. A faint breeze snuck the last of sunlight and spring in through the crack in his patio door, and the slanting daylight caught the accumulated grime on the glass door and painted it gold. As he thought, he talked to Himawari. After all this time, he still thinks you're a boy. He makes so many assumptions and never stops for clarification, thinking he's got the only right plan. Ha, huh. I don't think he's used to being on a team or in a community. Still, he's worked for so many years alone. It taught him certain things that he can let go of now. He's not alone anymore. He can calm down and stop trying to do everything himself like an idiot. It just makes trouble for everyone else. He frowned and flicked Himawari on the ears, because she clearly wasn't paying attention. Can you tell him that? Because he's really getting on my nerves. Himawari answered him with a mewl that was almost scolding. He was insulting her savior, after all. Pretty much everyone's savior. Aizawa smiled lopsidedly, resting his cheek on his knee and tugging firmly at her tail. You be quiet. I know, he's a good man, and he tries. I know he treats you well. Probably feeds you way too much. But you look healthy and happy. Aizawa sighed, easy and deep. Eyes lulled closed by the soft feel of Himawari's fur and her low, steady purr. The square of sunlight warming his bare feet. Those big hands feel nice, don't they? Himawari Hime? Sweet girl. Then, like the cock of a rifle in the quiet, there was a click behind him. Aizawa's eyes snapped open. A rustle of clothing. Another click. It all fell together in record time. Aizawa just narrowly avoided springing to his bare feet and throwing the entire coffee table at Toshinori out of shock and sheer spite, neck and ears burning. The idiot was there. He'd been there the whole time. Eyes burning red, Aizawa dissected the room. Like a fucking harbinger of the obvious, the kitten's carrier was poking out behind the couch, and it was all crystal clear. Toshinori had come to drop Himawari off with the one-time entry code Aizawa had given him, probably to make his apology speech too. And shit, fuck, he had or just gone to the bathroom and stumbled in and heard all of that. Shit. Aizawa drew in a deep, silent breath as his instincts kicked in, focusing, quieting. He knew Toshinori was immediately behind him, probably with one hand on the door. Doing what? Sneaking out? Damn right he was sneaking out. It was clearly the only option left in this mortifying clusterfuck, even to an insanely irrational mess of a man. So the younger hero forced himself to reinvest in Himawari and petted her mechanically, soothing and mumbling nonsense with his ears burning, listening, waiting. He really didn't want to deal with this. At all. Not at fucking all. So, like the rest of the week, Aizawa just let it slide, pretended he didn't see or hear anything, and slapped his forehead with a filthy curse as soon as the door not so silently clicked closed, clenching his hand into his tangled hair and yanking. What the fucking shit? How much of that did he hear? Before he could even begin to guess, Aizawa was startled by, of all things, a knock. He slowly turned and stared at the door, unwilling to believe it until it happened again. A hurried little triple tap.
He wondered briefly how ballsy slash suicidal the older man actually was, and had to brace himself before answering, keeping his voice flat and not the slightest bit indignant. When would this week be over? Now? Please?
Come in, he said, cheek on his knee, tired eyes on the door.
The door clicked again, and surprise, the skyscraper of a man peeked in, gaunt face already bright red. One long limb, then another, both hands behind his back, and Aizawa could smell the oh-so-casual effect from across the room, hating it and the man's well-meaning nature with his entire soul at that moment, because it just drew out the torture. And of course, the second he was in, Toshinori burst into a very loud, casual ranting, as one does when entering a coworker's home, especially one with whom he was embroiled in a secret feline custody battle.
Aizawa-kun, oh my, look, it's little Himawari. I was wondering about him, her, him, it, the cat. Thank goodness, I was wondering, worried, I mean.
Toshinori clarified. Then re-clarified, tugging frantically at his tie and swiping and failing three times to shut the door behind him. Then he managed and almost tripped over his own shoes.
Oh, also it turns out that it's a girl, which, Midoriya told me, courtesy of Koda. Not that, I may have brought her to school?
Aizawa stared unblinkingly over his shoulder from his position on the floor and could feel how utterly dead his face was. It was the only way to not rage, and Toshinori was so wrapped up in hyperventilating and rambling that he didn't seem to notice either. Lucky, the two of them. Maybe this farce would go over, after all, carried by their joint inability to face up to their mistakes. Fantastic.
Anyways, I suppose I left my window open, and it looks like she found her way back to you. Isn't that something? She must be really fond of you.
Aizawa wrapped his hand around the top of his knee, knuckles white, so he wouldn't slap himself in the fucking face. All Might, true to tale, never lied. He just embarrassed himself in florid ways, apparently. The older man took the biggest, deepest breath thus far, and Aizawa had to turn his face away, knowing the worst was coming.
It's funny. I'm glad she's here and safe. Because I was just getting around to asking. You see, I have an appointment with a rehoming group tomorrow, but I thought I would run this by you first. Run her by you.
Toshinori cleared his throat, and probably fiddled with his shirt cuffs. It rankled Aizawa, how familiar he was with the man's nervous motions, how clearly he could imagine them when he had no reason to.
I noticed you've really bonded with her, and I wanted to ask you if you wanted to keep her. I know how you feel about cats, and she looks happier when you're around. Is that okay? And I'm probably feeding her too much anyway, hmm?
After a moment, Aizawa hummed, like he was thinking about it. Like he'd heard. Then Toshinori sighed audibly, hoarse and tired.
I'm sorry that I didn't ask for help before, Aizawa-kun. I wanted to take care of it and her and have everything be okay, but I've underestimated the amount of work this job takes. It's been a theme lately.
He admitted, little more than a mumble.
I actually have a confession to make. The little one, she had her way with my hero suit at the beginning of the week and I panicked. Quite a bit, actually. It hit a sore spot because I thought, how can I do my job now?
Toshinori chuckled faintly, self-deprecating. The dry sound hitched and bloomed into a wet cough, and Aizawa frowned at the floor. It took him a moment to get his voice back.
So, you see the problem. My job has changed, and on some level I know that. But it's been so long, I acted without thinking. And I wanted to say it is absolutely my fault that Yamada-san's room is in pieces. I was worried what else she could get into at my apartment, so I gave Himawari to the children, and they stowed her in there during the school day, and then a myriad of other places, and, well, I'm relatively certain you saw how the week progressed.
None of our class is going undercover, that's for certain.
That's good.
Aizawa said it suddenly, too sharply. Because he meant it. But also because part of him was trying to let Toshinori know he was listening. The strain was audible in the older man's voice, and growing thicker, priming for a cough.
Oh, yes, I agree.
To Aizawa's relief, he cleared his throat.
But that day, I thought, why not? Surely it should be simple for them to handle her, to take her off my hands, because I had more important things to do. And that is absolutely against what I agreed to do when I accepted this job. I put everyone else, my own charges, into a hard position just because I wasn't willing to see what I could handle. Nor was I prioritizing my actual role at UA now. A role I'm lucky to have at all. I regret that, and see how it reflects on my larger character. It's something I need to work on, if I'm going to be part of a team.
Yeah, Aizawa said, when the silence had gone on long enough that he knew Toshinori wanted a response. He was rewarded with yet more silence. Then a humble lesson, half a semester and one shattered mug in the making. Last time I came into your home and did something foolish, acting selfishly about my place as a hero, I asked you not to hold it against me. Now, if you would, I would be very grateful if you could hold me accountable for what I do and don't do concerning the children. The way you are with them, I don't think I realized how much you do for their development, and I'm painfully out of my depth. There's so much I don't know about teaching, and I want to be a dependable and mature role model for them. They are the priority here. I'm not asking to be babysat, necessarily, but... what's the phrase I'm looking for?
You want someone to call you on your shit.
Yes, Toshinori said softly, with the ghost of a laugh. That's what I want.
The living room was silent for a moment, air thick with the uneven, tumbling confession. The window glinted gold, and Himawari gave a soft mewl from the floor, ducking underneath Aizawa's abruptly motionless hands. Toshinori drew in a shaking breath behind him. When he spoke, his voice was little more than a whisper.
So is that okay?
Struck, Aizawa couldn't help but smirk into his shirt sleeve. Was what okay? Was it okay that the man was an unthinking mess and had wrapped the entire class into his inability to handle his shit? Was it okay that he claimed he was working on that, to actually yank his priorities around to focus on the students instead of the fading specter of his hero career? Was it okay that he, Aizawa, could be an opinionated part of that transition? Was it okay that Himawari was officially his now? And he didn't have to scheme anymore, and he would finally have a kitten of his very own given rather than stolen? Was it okay that all of this was finally over? Was this okay?
Yeah, that's okay, Aizawa said at last, soft.
He brushed some hair out of his eyes, waggled the sock again so Himawari had something to jump on. She obliged with vigor, mewling loudly.
Okay. Toshinori breathed out, in a rush.
There was a pause, and Aizawa could almost see him shifting from shoe to shoe.
I'm glad. Thank you. I'll, bring over the rest of her things tomorrow. Yes, thank you, then. Good night, Aizawa-kun.
The door clicked shut. Aizawa was left petting the kitten. His damn kitten. And smiling to himself. Perplexed and exhausted and raggedly stressed, but oddly touched, pleased even. He was learning. The end.
Let's go! got the girl.
If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!